The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I love starting off a show with a big old ha-ha for haters of dumb shit. And I get to start today's show off with that today. As a lot of you football fans know, if you're a college football fan, you know, Deion Sanders just signed on as the coach of Colorado in this offseason. It's his first season as the Colorado head coach. And I don't know why. But there was just a shit ton of doubters and hate basically since the day he signed on. Now I get it. If you're a Jackson State fan and you were disappointed that he left Jackson State and took on the Colorado job, which you're an idiot because he was always going to leave that school no matter what you think. And by the way, he's going to leave Colorado at some point too. Just so y'all know, newsflash, about three to five years, Deion Sanders will be the coach of some other team as well, and it won't be Colorado. And if he is, that just means Colorado's doing really fucking well. But I digress. So during this offseason, you know, there were a couple players who opted to go to other schools, which happens at every single school, basically. There are kids who leave colleges regularly because for many reasons. The majority of the time, the reason is you're not going to get playing time. Or it's a new coach, because lots of times a coach will recruit you, and then that coach is fired by the time you're a starter, and you may not like what the new coach's system is. So players leaving Colorado was not really a big deal, especially with the players that Deion brought in with him from his move, because that was also something that happened as well. Is what's going to happen is the new coach is going to bring in not only his new coaches, his new coaching staff, a new mindset, but he's also going to bring in some new players with him. And so that's, of course, what Deion did. But for some fucking reason, everybody like glommed on to all these Colorado players going to other schools, and this is just going to be such a big old failure for Deion Sanders. And in Deion Sanders' debut as head coach for Colorado, they got their first ever win over a top 25 school in the history of this college football team. They beat number 17 ranked TCU 45-42. And let me tell y'all, this was a game. I decided to watch this game. I didn't really know, because with college football, I'm very hit or miss. I'm watching every Longhorns game, of course. But beyond that, I pretty much will, you know, pick games here and there. And, you know, it's baseball season as well. There's a good chance I'm actually going to choose to watch baseball over some college football games this year. That's just how I am. But I decided, you know, this game was on, and it was on before the Longhorns game as well. They were both on Fox. So I was like, you know what, let me watch Deion's debut, because I love Deion Sanders. I've made it clear and known, if you listen to the show, that I love me some Deion Sanders. Loved him as a player, and I'm loving him as a coach so far. And let me go ahead and see what primetime's got for us in his debut. And holy shit, this Colorado team came right out the gate and they just were on it. They actually owned the first half. Then TCU came out the second half and actually started to get it going. And the entire second half was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And Colorado was able to get the better of TCU in the end. They scored the last points on the board and would get the win 45-42. Deion's son, he actually has two of his sons on the team, but his son, Shadur Sanders, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. I could be wrong. I don't know. I've never seen that name before, so if I'm mispronouncing it, I apologize. But Shadur Sanders, he is the quarterback of this team. He went 38 for 47 with 510 yards and 4 touchdowns. And then we had Travis Hunter. this motherfucker not only plays wide receiver, had 11 catches, 119 yards, but the dude also plays on defense and is a cornerback. He had an interception, a huge game-changing interception as well. So he had a huge game. This was a huge debut for Deion Sanders in Colorado, and a big ha, ha, ha to all you haters who actually thought Deion was going to struggle. Y'all can suck a fat one, because it looks like Colorado's going to be a legit team. And if Deion keeps doing this, like I said, there's a good chance he ain't going to stay the Colorado head coach. But hey, if he builds something really good here and they actually do something really big, who knows what's going to happen. But it was really hilarious to watch because, like I said, this team actually played a really good game. This was not a fluke. This was not bullshit. This was not, oh my God, it's the first game of the season. Jitters from TCU. No, this was a great game from Colorado. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Deion Sanders has for the rest of his coaching career, but loved what he did at Jackson State, love what he's doing at Colorado right now, and I can't wait to see the future of Deion Sanders as a head coach because it's been fucking dope so far. Anyways, let's move on to the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. Not a lot of shakeup again because we are closing in now, really. We're zeroing in on playoff time. And, you know, right now is the time when it's pretty much done from here on out. Like, the teams are who they are. It's just going to be a shuffling of records and who ends up winning divisions and whatnot. But for the most part, the top 10 is pretty much what it's been the last couple of weeks. So let's go ahead and get it started with number one, of course, the Atlanta Braves. First team to 90 wins this season. They're actually on pace to set their all-time franchise record for wins. Right now, they have a 90-46 record. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games this past weekend. This past week, actually, they took the series against the Colorado Rockies and then took the series against the Los Angeles Dodgers over the weekend. This team is just, there's nothing else to say about them other than they're fucking good. Ronald Acuña Jr., this guy has been having such an MVP season just in the series alone against the Dodgers. He had a grand slam. He had 6 hits, 3 home runs, and 6 RBI. And then you also have Matt Olson, who just continues to have his insane season where he leads the league in home runs, or he's tied for the league lead with Shohei Ohtani with 44 home runs. And then he has the league lead by a mile with 113 RBI. So this guy is just knocking him out of the park. It's just the Braves. And Spencer Strider leads the league in wins, strikeouts. I mean, this team is too damn good. If the Braves don't win the World Series, it's an epic fail for them this season. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings, still have to talk about this dumbass fucking team, the Los Angeles Dodgers. 84-52 on the season, 6-4 in their last 10 games. It was hilarious to watch them get their asses kicked by the Braves, but they did take a series against the Arizona Diamondbacks earlier in the week. And, you know, this team is just, they're just getting better and better as the season rolls on, even though they did get, the Braves did dominate their ass, but still, I mean, they played a great series against them, even though they lost it. You know, Freddie Freeman, he's not getting a lot of talk for MVP, even though he should. Dude's batting a 335, 25 home runs, 89 RBI on the season. So it's just a typical year from Freddie Freeman. And that says a lot because if you're, I mean, he's what, like second in the league at batting average with a 335 right now. So when you are dominating like that and just constantly getting on base, it's crazy to hear. You don't really hear his name in the MVP conversation, but that's just because Acuña is just having that much better of a season, which just is insane because Freeman is just off the charts right now, right along with Mookie Betts. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Baltimore Orioles, overall record of 85-51. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Chicago White Sox and the Arizona Diamondbacks. They just look like they're primed and ready for the postseason. It's just really a matter of, do you believe in them in the postseason? I don't know. We'll see how it's going to turn out. You know, you have Anthony Santander, who's just had been one of the most consistent players for them all season, right now batting a 258 with 26 home runs and 79 RBI on the season. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Tampa Bay Rays, overall record of 83-54. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Miami Marlins, but lost the weekend series against the Cleveland Guardians. And it was a really close one yesterday. It went back and forth, but the Guardians ended up getting the better of the Rays in that matchup. And Paredes, he is just having such an amazing season, especially his second half. I mean, the Rays have had just a lot of offensive firepower, and it's just been coming from different guys each and every week. And Paredes, he's just been the guy this entire second half of the season for the Rays. Right now batting at 252 with 27 home runs and 85 RBI on the season. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers, overall record of 76-60. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series against the Chicago Cubs, but won the series against the Philadelphia Phillies. Christian Yelich is just having yet another resurgent season. It's getting better for him. He's batting at 278 with 17 home runs and 69 RBI. Those are back to kind of like his MVP form numbers. And, you know, the Brewers are just getting actually a lot of offensive firepower in a lot of different directions. The starting pitching's been really solid. It's going to be interesting to see what happens once we get more towards the playoffs, if they actually become a legit contender or if they're just one of those teams who makes the playoffs and is bye-bye immediately. Then number six on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Seattle Mariners, overall record of 77-59. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Oakland A's, but lost the series to the New York Mets. Julio Rodriguez, he has been on some. He's had a great season, and he's really just been carrying this team, especially the second half of the season. The Mariners have just been really the most consistent team since the All-Star break. Right now, Julio Rodriguez is batting at 285 with 24 home runs and 88 RBI on the season. So it's been a great, fantastic year for him. The Mariners still have the division lead right now, and we'll see if they're able to maintain it, but I definitely expect to see this team make the postseason. Then at number seven on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Chicago Cubs, overall record of 73-64. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Milwaukee Brewers and then took the series against the Cincinnati Reds. And, you know, Justin Steele has been basically Steele. This guy has been one of the most solid, most consistent pitchers from the jump. Dude has 15 wins, a 2.69 ERA, and 141 strikeouts on the season. You know, if Spencer Strider wasn't having such an amazing year, I'd say throw Steele's name in there for a National League Cy Young Award. You also got to talk about Zach Gallen with the Diamondbacks as well. But man, Steele has really been the driving force for the Cubs all season. I mean, from the start, nobody has been more consistent than him for this entire team. And he's pitching right now against my San Francisco Giants as we speak. And he's just been fucking fantastic for the Cubs. And it's going to be interesting to see if he's able to maintain that in the postseason, because he is a new guy. So is this kind of like nobody's really figured him out yet? So it's going to be interesting to see if the Cubs make the postseason and if he's able to kind of maintain this dominance, because he's been the most consistent player on the Chicago Cubs team from the jump. Then at number eight on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Houston Astros, overall record of 77-61. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they swept the Boston Red Sox, but then they got swept by the New York Yankees over the weekend. So it's been very up and down for them. Actually, especially the second half of the season, it's been pretty up and down for the Astros. You know, as you could tell that with the one sweep against the Red Sox and then losing in a sweep against the Yankees, that says a lot, especially because the Yankees aren't playing that good of baseball right now. But the Astros just haven't really been that consistent lately, but they're still getting it done, and you really can't count them out. Kyle Tucker has just been having a career year, and he leads the team in all of the batting categories with a 289 batting average, 26 home runs, and 99 RBI. So the guy has been money. And, you know, offensively, there's really nothing bad to say about the Astros. Same with their starting pitching. It's just consistency. For some odd reason, they just really haven't been that consistent. It might be the injuries because, you know, Altuve, he got injured again. He hasn't hit the injured list just yet. But, you know, he's been battling the injuries. Their starting pitching has been having issues with injuries. Jordan has had some injury issues. So that's just been kind of their thing is consistency. But then again, this is the time of year when the Astros pretty much get it moving. And so you can't count them out just yet. But I don't know if they look like they're World Series ready at this point in time. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings have the Minnesota Twins, overall record of 71-66. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Cleveland Guardians, but then took a series against the Texas Rangers. They do maintain a pretty solid lead right now in their division, so they are right on course to win their division. And it's really been all about their starting pitching lately. Joe Ryan, he's got 10 wins on the season with a 4.20 ERA on 166 strikeouts. And then Sonny Gray, who's really been one of the more consistent pitchers since he hit the league. He's kind of been injury prone with ever since he got traded to the Twins a couple years ago. But this season, when he's healthy, he's actually been pretty solid. He's got 7 wins on the season with a 2.92 ERA and 156 strikeouts. So the Twins look like they're in line to maintain this division and move on to the playoffs. And then rounding out the top 10 this week are the Philadelphia Phillies, overall record of 75-61. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Los Angeles Angels and lost the series to the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, speaking of starting pitching, the Phillies, their starting pitching has been very solid in this entire second half. Taijuan Walker, he's actually having a resurgent season for himself. He's got 14 wins on the season with a 4.05 ERA and 119 strikeouts. And Bryce Harper is just continuing his hot streak as well. And the Phillies are looking like they are right in line to make the playoffs right now. And now turning to football. We finally have week 1 of football starting this week, kicking it off Thursday night football with the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs against the Detroit Lions. I cannot believe this is how we're starting the season off. I don't know who on earth was like, yeah, let's have the Detroit Lions be game 1 that everybody's forced to fucking watch on the season. Like, that is a terrible choice. Just because I think it's amusing to me. I've already stated this when I talked about the Detroit Lions and how I feel like their season's going to go. I am not on this hype train. They haven't proven shit, so they ain't shit. And while they are in a weak-ass division, I still think there's a much better team in the Minnesota Vikings than I do the Detroit Lions. This team hasn't proven anything in the history of their entire existence. So until the Detroit Lions prove something, they ain't shit to me. That's how I've always felt about them, the Cleveland Browns, and the Houston Texans. I do not hop on that hype train until those idiots actually do something. And notice, they have never done anything. That's why I have that mindset with them always. But the NFL decided, let's start the season off with a great big old ass kicking, because I don't think this one's going to be close at all. Right now, the Chiefs are favored by 6.5 points. Of course, that line could change as we get closer to Thursday, but that's how it's looking right now. I feel like the Chiefs are going to come out. I feel like they're going to dominate. I don't even think it's going to be a close game at all. I kind of feel like it's going to be one of those games where the Chiefs score on their first drive and probably don't stop. It might be one of those games where their punter doesn't even touch the field that night. So I have the Chiefs winning this one 35-10. Yes, that's how much I believe in the Detroit Lions. I don't believe in them at all. And speaking of predictions, as you know, I've been making all my season predictions on every team. And I just finished basically going through what division winners are going to be and how teams I feel like are going to turn out this season. And so now let's move on to my playoff predictions and how I believe that's going to turn out and who I ultimately believe is going to win Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas this year. So let's kick it off. If you haven't noticed, I always start off with the NFC teams because I am a Dallas Cowboys fan. So that means I lead with the NFC always. So how do I think the playoffs are going to, the team seeding is going to turn out for the NFC? I have Wait for it, people. I know y'all are going to be laughing throughout this entire playoff prediction if you are a Cowboys hater, but that's totally fine by me. I couldn't care less. I'm not one of those Cowboys fans who cries and gets upset. I just make my predictions. I do have high hopes for the Cowboys this season, so you can laugh if they completely careen into the ground, which is par for the course with them, but I have high expectations for them this year. So high that I believe the number one seed in the NFC this year is going to be the Dallas Cowboys. I think they're going to not only win their division, I think they're going to go 13-4, and I think they're going to be the top seed in the NFC. I think the number two seed in the NFC is going to be the Minnesota Vikings at 12-5. I think they're going to win the NFC North. Then the number three seed, I have the Los Angeles Rams winning their division, the NFC West at 11-6. And then the number four seed, I have the New Orleans Saints winning their division, the NFC South at 10-7. And then my three wild card teams, I have the number five seed as the Philadelphia Eagles at 11-6. The number six seed, I have the San Francisco 49ers at 10-7. And then the number seven seed, I have the Chicago Bears at 9-8, just making the playoffs. Then in the AFC, my number one seed is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. I have them winning their division, the AFC West, at 13-4. Then the number two seed, I have the Buffalo Bills winning their division, the AFC East, at 12-5. Then the number three seed, I had the Cincinnati Bengals winning their division, the AFC Central, at 12-5. And then I have the number four seed, the Jacksonville Jaguars, winning their division, the AFC South, at 10-7. And then my three wild card teams in the AFC, number five seed, I have the New York Jets at 11-6. The number six seed, I have the Los Angeles Chargers at 11-6. And then my number seven seed, I have the Baltimore Ravens at 10-7. So my NFC wild card matchups are as such. I have the Chicago Bears versus the Minnesota Vikings, which I have the Vikings winning. Then I have the San Francisco 49ers versus the Los Angeles Rams, which I have the Rams winning. And then I have the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New Orleans Saints, which I have the Saints winning. Then my AFC wild card matchups would be the Baltimore Ravens versus the Buffalo Bills, which I have the Ravens winning. Then the Los Angeles Chargers versus the Cincinnati Bengals, I have the Chargers winning. And then the New York Jets versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, I have the Jets winning. So if you, I know it's difficult to keep track there, but I actually in the NFC have all the home teams winning. And then in the AFC, I have all the away teams winning in those wild card matchups. Then my NFC divisional matchups would be the New Orleans Saints versus my Dallas Cowboys. Yes, I have my Dallas Cowboys winning that matchup. And then the Los Angeles Rams versus the Minnesota Vikings. I have the Rams winning that matchup. And then my AFC divisional round matchups would be the Baltimore Ravens versus the Kansas City Chiefs. I have the Chiefs winning that matchup. Then the Los Angeles Chargers versus the New York Jets. I have the Jets winning that matchup. So my NFC Conference Championship matchup would be the Los Angeles Rams versus my Dallas Cowboys. Yes, that would be the first Cowboys championship game in many, 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 many moons. I believe the last time they made the championship game was, in 96 when I was in fifth grade. So yes, I have them not only going to the championship game, but I have them winning the championship game. Then the AFC Conference Championship game would be the Kansas City Chiefs versus the New York Jets. Yes, in Aaron Rodgers' first season as the New York Jets quarterback, I have him taking the Jets, who are another team similar to like my Cowboys, who haven't won in forever in a day. I have him taking them to the AFC Championship game, but I have the Kansas City Chiefs getting the better of them, and I have the Chiefs winning that matchup. So my Super Bowl 58 matchup is my Dallas Cowboys versus the Kansas City Chiefs. If you do not know, the Kansas City Chiefs are actually the original Dallas Cowboys. They were actually the Dallas Texans until they moved to Kansas City and became the Kansas City Chiefs. Then the Dallas Cowboys, you know, they formed, and I think like the year after the Chiefs left, actually the Texans left and moved on to Kansas City. So that would be a pretty interesting matchup, just historically, if you're an NFL fan. But yes, my Super Bowl 58 matchup, my Dallas Cowboys versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And I am going all in, bitches. I got my Dallas Cowboys as the Super Bowl champions. So you're either going to be laughing really hard at me when the Cowboys don't do shit this season, or, you know, that honestly, if the Cowboys make the championship game, I'm going to be happy with that. I'm happy with that. But I want to see not only go to the Super Bowl, but a Super Bowl win. I mean, this team really is poised to do it. They are a solid team. We've got an excellent defense, and that's where I think the edge will be in this matchup, is that the Cowboys defense will be able to get at Patrick Mahomes and just get him to make either a few mistakes or just make him not the typical driving force he usually is, kind of like that Super Bowl they lost against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's kind of how I see this going, is where the Dallas defense will take over the game, be able to contain Patrick Mahomes as best as you can. Cowboys offense, I think, is going to be really good this year. And so, yeah, I've got my Cowboys winning Super Bowl 58. So how y'all feeling about that? By the way, I'm not the only person who's picking them to go this far. It's very shocking to me that there's, like, actually people not laughing at the Cowboys this year, which is very shocking and odd. But, you know, these are just stupid-ass predictions. Anything can happen. I know I'm not the great, powerful oracle. I always go back and recap all my predictions as well. So we'll see how wrong I am once we get towards Super Bowl 58. But I am fucking excited that it's week one. The best thing about week one for all of us football fans is that all of our teams are in it. It doesn't matter, just even making predictions. Like, I was going through all the matchups just this morning, and I'm like, damn, it's you never know what's going to happen. Week one is probably the most tricky week of NFL football, because even if a team gets blown out, they could still be the Super Bowl-bound team just because, you know, their bad game was the first game of the season. You just never know what's going to happen. The first game is always weird. First week is always weird. So it's just nice being an NFL fan right now, because all of us are excited. All of our teams have a shot. We're all Super Bowl-bound right now. And I'm just excited to get it going because, football. So with that being said, since football begins this week, starting next week, I'm going to go back to doing Wednesday shows. So I'll be doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, because I will be doing my NFL power rankings on every Wednesday show. So I'll be back to that next week. But this week, Thursday night football, it all kicks off between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions, and I can't wait. I'm super excited about it, and I am ready for some football. So I hope y'all enjoy the week of sports. I hope y'all are ready for some football just like I am, and I will talk to you motherfuckers on Friday.